Cool.
Good morning, everybody. 2 weeks ago, this is week three in Everyday Disciple. 2 weeks ago, I spoke about the cost of being a disciple. Last week, as Margie said, I talked about being immersed in Scripture. And this week, I want to talk about something different. Because I can't tell you, because then you won't listen. I said that last week. I'll say it next week. Before we start, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good God, that you hear our words, you listen to our thoughts. Father, I thank you that you have a message for each of us today. Help us to be able to hear from you. Father, help us to be able to concentrate. Father, help us to be able to give you what you're due. And Father, help us to receive the challenge that you have before us. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story about an economics professor. And he liked to see students pass. He liked to see students help each other. But he also wanted to challenge the students. So what he did is he said, from here on, we're not going to give individual results. We're going to give results for everybody. So I'm going to average everyone's essays and exams and all that sort of stuff, average it, and everyone gets the same mark. So the first one they did, the first assignment they all did, those who studied hard, those who studied a bit, and those who liked to just slip through. And what happened is that across the board, everyone got a B. Now some people, the ones who study hard, were like really angry and frustrated because I work so hard. Those who usually scrape through on a 51%, hands up, were like stoked. It's like, I got a B, this is the best ever. So what happened for the next assignment? Well, those who got the A pluses usually went, well, why am I trying so hard? And those who were usually getting C's and D's were going, I'm good, I don't need to try any harder. So the next exam assignments, everyone got a C. The next one everyone got a D. And there was all this anger and bitterness and fighting that was happening amongst all the students. At the end of the course, everybody failed. We live in community. And sometimes community is really difficult. And when we rely on everyone else, we get disappointed. And I know a lot of people who are doing university subjects and we're going to have group work. You see the fear in their eyes, because fear group work means, well, it means either someone else does all the work and I'm happy, or I do all the work and I get disappointed. We all live in community. To be honest, I love community. It's a part of who I am, in almost the extent of I need community. I need to be around people. I need to be journeying with people. As I keep telling people, I'm incredibly boring. I'm dopey. I on my own, I just need to be entertained by somebody, please. We need community. I need community. But community for many people is quite difficult. In a village, life is challenging. A village is challenging, and many of us give up. And if we look around our church, there's so many people outside in our community that aren't a part of the church because something happened, and it's easy to walk away. COVID, when it came through a few years ago, when we stopped meeting as a church, so many people just disappeared. So many people have come into the community and been hurt and broken and walked away because it's just too hard. And many people legitimately have been hurt by the church and by community. And that's terrible. We are to be a community of love, of help, of healing. And if we're not a community of healing and people are walking away broken, then we're not doing what we're called to do. We as a church are a place where people come to be helped and cared for. And people, if they're feeling that they need to leave that to be cared for, then we're not doing our job properly. We're not representing God as we should. As a community, we're here to heal each other, to walk each other, and to walk in community. And community should be a strength, not a pain. And if you're feeling hurt from a community, I'm sorry that that's where you're at. And I'd like to help you where I can. Because a community should be, a village should be, a place of connection and healing and wholeness. And this is who we should be. We should be a people of love and care and kindness. Community can go wrong, but it doesn't need to. We need to be a part of community. I totally believe that God's called us in a community. He's designed us to be a part of community. I believe God has created us to be a people, not a person alone. That we are designed and built to be a part of us. And I'm not just talking about Stanthorpe Baptist Church, best community, but we're called to be a part of the community, the family of God, the village of Jesus. But when we walk away, there are consequences of walking away from the community. And I want to look at Ephesians 4 today, the passage that was read out, and I want to look at different parts of it. The first thing is that when we give up on community, it inevitably leads to immaturity, unfulfillment, and deception. And verse 14 says, we're tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in deceitful scheming. So many people, when they walk away from community, when they walk away from the Christian community, they get caught in this place of chasing after their own understanding, their own place of who God is. I talk to a lot of people that are Christians but not a part of the church. And some of the theology and the understanding of God is quite interesting. There's so many people that are claiming to be Christian Buddhists, and for one thing, and I can't get my head around Christian Buddhists, because the whole philosophy of Buddhism and Christianity is so polar opposite. And when I talk to these people, I say, well, how did you get to karma, and how did you get to reincarnation as a part of the Christian message? And so many people say, I listened to God and I pursued what felt right. When we're outside a community, we don't have voices to be able to help us to understand who God is. We don't have voices to help us to understand where we are, what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong, what's helpful, what's not helpful. When we're on our own, we are pursuing what we think is right. The Bible talks about how our bodies and the spiritual world of God are in conflict. And I know for me, what my body wants is not always the same as what God wants for me. I got out of bed this morning. My body did not say, excellent, Dave, that's a great idea. It's 3 degrees outside. Why don't we go and dance in the sunshine? That was not my body. My body is never like that. But that's what God's calling me to. And we're in conflict, and that's a little silly, but we're in conflict with what God wants of us and what our body wants of us. And in community, we're encouraged and empowered to be able to be stronger in what God wants for us and what we want. We're encouraged to be able to pursue what God wants of us, what God wants of me. When I've got my own voice, I go on all sorts of distractions, and I'm not sure that's right for you, but that's so right for me. If I'm not in community, then my brain takes me in places that God doesn't want me to be. God doesn't want me to walk alone. He wants me to be encouraged. He doesn't want me to be immature and unfulfilled. He wants to call me into maturity, into strength. And that, for me, can only come through living in a community. God's designed us for village life. He's designed us to walk in community. God wants us to be walking with each other. Someone once said that discipleship is not a solitary journey. It's walking together in the footsteps of Jesus. And you might have heard the old saying, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, I believe it also true that it takes a village to raise a disciple. We are a disciple, and it takes all of us for all of us to grow. One voice is good, many voices is better. It helps us to get a better, bigger picture of who Jesus is, of who the church community is. I love it when, how do I say this? I hate a church that has one voice and is one doctrine and everyone echoes the same points. I find that so disturbing. But I know that if I walked around and talked to everyone, we got so many different views on so many things. And I'm really glad about that. I'm glad that you're wrong and I'm right. That's not what meant. We have different understandings of different things about the spiritual gifts, about who God is, about end times, about all. We have so many different views of that. And I'm so grateful that we do. Because if we have one view of that and we say that, and if I stood here and said, this is the doctrine of, and you must believe this, then where's God in that? That's not a community, that's me forcing you to believe what's in my head. For me, a community is a people who have come together, who reflect different aspects of who God is, who respect and honour those differences, and yet love each other and walk together and don't hold that against them. I think it's a beautiful thing that we differ and that we don't argue about it. Just hint, we don't, we discuss, but we discuss with a desire to learn. We don't discuss with a desire to put everyone else down and for me to be right. Yeah? A community is people who think differently, people who understand things differently, but walk with each other and journey with each other and chase God with each other. Ephesians 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. I love this picture that Jesus gave the church these people to disciple the church. Now this, there's so much discussion, debate, understanding of what this is about and how leaders are like this and are there the fivefold ministry and all this sort of thing which is discussed. I don't think that's the point of what Paul's making. I think what Paul's saying is that there's different people with different skills and different giftings that bring so much into the community. When we look at these and we say, these is what leaders are and these are who the leaders are, where does it in this passage say that leaders are apostles, prophets, evangelists? Because I don't see that. What I see is that God has given the body, us, people with different giftings. We are called to be a part of the body of Christ. And we are called to be Jesus to the community. And each of us have different skills and different giftings to bring to the community. We bring who God is in us so that we are growing in God. Does that mean that people, leaders, don't have those gifts? No, that's not what I'm saying. Does that mean that people with those gifts are leaders? I'm also not saying that. But we all have a role to play in the body of Christ. I read during the week, and take this how it is, that if the body of Christ was helping a baby to be born, today's evangelists are the obstetricians, gifted in bringing in new births. The nurses are the pastors, a tender, caring, nurturing title that suggests a touch here, a kind word there. Then there's pediatricians, the teachers who are helping us to learn and to become better who we can be. Then there's prophets who give a gentle prod at the right time. And all these specialists working together suggest resolute strength and protection of the person, working with the parents for a baby to become complete. In the body of Christ, we all work together to make feeding the sheep a top priority. Each of us have gifts. Each of us are responsible and a part of the discipleship of all of us. And within that, the pastor has a role. The leadership have a role. The leadership are there to coordinate and connect together, to work with all of us to be able to see who we're becoming, to have the vision and to pursue the vision. But that doesn't mean that all of the responsibility for discipleship is on the leaders. No. We as a church disciple each other. We who are more mature disciple those who are less mature. Those who are less mature or newer into the faith are there to seek discipleship from those who have been around longer. Those of us with a gift of wisdom are to input that wisdom. Those of us with a gift of teaching are to bring a teaching, all under the vision and the leadership of the church. We all have a part to play, and we don't have the... We have a responsibility... I'm trying not to say it in the negative. We have a responsibility to be a part of who we are. We're called to be a part of who we are. If we look around the world at different movements at different times and places, it's not the leaders that have brought about change. If we look at the human rights movement in the US, when Martin Luther King stood up and Rosa Parks stood up, they were people who were not necessarily in a, well, they weren't in a leadership position, but they stood up for what they believed is right. And it took thousands and thousands of normal people, average people, to stand up with them to change society. If it's up to me alone to disciple this church, I want to say we're in trouble. Because it's not me on my own that's going to grow this church. It's not me on my own that's going to grow all of us. It's us working together, seeking God together, chasing after community, chasing after God and who He is in each other's lives. It's up to us chasing after God together that's going to change our church. It's going to change Stanthorpe, and it's going to change the area we live in. We're called to be a community. And within that, each of the villages are called to a vital role under God. Verse 16, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part goes about its work. Paul calls the church the body of Christ. Paul in Corinthians talks about a literal body and says how the body is so connected together. And then Paul says, this is like us as the body of Christ. We're connected together. We respect each other. We have different roles, different places, different giftings. Paul also describes the body of Christ as a family. And within the family, we have grandparents, we have kids, we have parents, we got uncles and aunties. We're all related. And we work together to bring up the children. We work together to support the older people. We work together as a family. Different pictures of what Paul looks at as the body of Christ, but what we need to look at as the Christian church. Different analogies which look at the same thing from different ways. And a part of this is good to remember is that we all have spiritual gifts. And it mentioned some before, and Romans talks about spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians talks about spiritual gifts, and I don't want to go into a whole teaching about spiritual gifts, but when we become a Christian, God gives us a spiritual gift. And those gifts are different for each of us. But we need to find out what those gifts are, because the gifts help us to understand where we serve. Now, if I was to bring a devotion, and I want to look at saying, okay, let's bring a different devotion from different people. An evangelist brings a devotion, what will be the core of that devotion? It'll be about how you can meet Christ. It'll be about about Jesus' death on the cross. If an exhorter is to bring a devotion, it'll be about encouragement, it'll be about empowerment, about who you can be. If a teacher brings a devotion, what'll it be? It'll be, this is the scripture, this is what it means, this is the Greek, this is where the context is. If an administrator brings a devotion, what it'll be? It'll be very structured and very thought out and very precise. Now, which one of them is right? I'm waiting for you to tell me. They all are.
because we have a role to play, but we do that role through the spiritual gift that we have. So I'm an exhorter. So my go-to is, how can we be better? How can we be stronger? How can you connect with God? How can you chase after your passion? What can you do to challenge yourself to become better in God? That's naturally who I am. How you preach is going to be different to how I preach. How you do a devotion is going to be different. How you do the books is going to be different to the way I do the books. And one of us will not go to prison, because I'm not good at doing books, and to be honest, I've got no desire to be. We all have a different spiritual gift, and we need to find that gift, and that's for another time. If you want to learn more about it, come and talk to me and we'll work some stuff out. There's different ways we can understand what our spiritual gifts are, but we all have one, and it's a part of who we are, about how God's created us. But we also have different skills. We have skills that we've learned, and we have skills that we're able to do. So one of my skills is being able to come up and preach here. I know that everyone is really keen to jump up here and speak. This is one of the skills, is what I've learned. We all have different skills. Some of us have skills in admin. Some of us have skills in teaching. Some of us have skills in gardening. We all have different skills, things we've been trained, things we understand. And we also have life circumstances. We're all in different circumstances in life. Different commitments, different family stages, different worlds that we live in. And if we look at our gifts, if we look at our skills, and we look at our circumstances and put them all together, I think we've got a hint on where we fit in the body of Christ. What is God's gift to me? What is the skills I have? What is the role I'm in? What are my life circumstances? What does that look like? Combine all that and we find that place of where we fit into the body of Christ, what we can offer. And we are all here in community to bring God into this place. We need to figure out what spiritual gifts we have, what are the skills and talents we have, what are the opportunities we have within our life circumstances. And then, where is God leading us? Where do I fit? When I grew up, I played hockey, and I played hockey into my, I want to say 30s. I'm not sure, I don't remember. But I played hockey, and I was a fullback, and I liked playing fullback. I was big and strong. I could hit the ball straight. I could hit it hard. And when I say was, I really mean was. I'm bigger, but not stronger. Different. But then I played fullback. I could understand what the other team were doing. I could see where they were going. I could see what was happening. I could call players in for our defense. I could also see the weaknesses of the other team, and I'd start up strategies to be able to attack, to be able to score goals. I got that. That's how I thought. It's how I worked. It's my body shape. It's my skills. It's all fitted. For a few years, I was asked to play fullback, play forward. Now, if you don't know much about sport, a fullback obviously stands at the back, and the whole game is happening here. A forward, you're standing up here, and the whole game's happening there. Now, that's weird. I don't know how people do that. And I felt so out of place, because I'm always like, why am I up here? I'm facing the wrong way. The ball's supposed to come this way. It comes this way. But I also realized that for the team, they needed me to play in that place. And I came to understanding that I had the skills of the big, strong fullback. And I just want to tell you, when you're in up the front trying to score a goal and you're a big, strong fullback, it's really funny, the other fullbacks. I don't know what to do with that. but then I was able to say, okay, how do I bring my understanding of the game? How do I bring the understanding of foresight, of seeing what's happening around me? How do I bring that into the game from the other end? And how do I change the game from being a different place? It's not just my physical skills, but it's how I think and what I bring to the team, how I can encourage my team players, and don't listen to this, how I can disencourage my opposition. I never did that. But how do we bring ourselves to the game? And that's what we're called to, because sometimes our role will seem strange. Where we fit into the community will seem strange. We know where we naturally fit. We know where our strengths are. We know what we're really good at. And sometimes we're called to do something a little bit to the side that feels a little disconcerting sometimes, but it's where God wants us to be. God's challenging us to find that place. Where do we fit? What God's got in front of us? Because it's in this village where disciples really grow. It's where we put ourselves into the community, where we grow and where we learn and where God can do amazing things in and through us. There's a story of a soldier, a young guy, and he'd been a soldier for a while, and the country had just declared war. And he's talking to someone and saying, "I don't want to go to war." Now, one would say, "You're a soldier. That's what you're trained to do." That's, and I said, "Well, why are you resisting this?" He said, "I didn't go into the army to go to war. I went for the benefits, the pay, the college tuition, the insurance. I went in for all of this stuff. But the core element of being a soldier is being a soldier." So many people come into the church for the benefits, for the assurance of after death, for the connection with people, for whatever it might be, but miss the core element of we are a part of a community. We are a part of the body of Christ. That's core to us as Christians. And if we're coming into Christianity and saying, "I'm going to be my own little Jesus person," then that's not who we are. We are a community. We are a village. We are the body of Christ. We are a family. And we need to find where we fit within the body of Christ. We need to remember that we are the children of God, that we have godly friends and mentors around us, that we are surrounded by family, that this is who we are. My discipleship, my journey of discipleship over many, many, many decades, wow, now I feel old, have been encouraged by people giving me notes, by being invited to dinner, by coming into home groups and praying for me and praying with me. People journeying with me, of sitting down having prayer meetings at 7 o'clock in McDonald's cafe, drinking McDonald's coffee, which is better now than it used to be, but I'm not rating it. People coming out of their way to say, "Hi, are you okay?" Of people encouraging me, of me sitting down with new Christians and discipling them, of older Christians sitting down encouraging me and discipling me. That's my journey. What's your journey? Are you connected with other Christians? Have you become the person you are because of Christian mothers and fathers, Christian aunts and uncles, Christian grandparents who have sat with you and given you help and wisdom and strength and guidance? In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, "Just as a body through one has many parts, but it's many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by the one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were given the one Spirit to drink. So even so, this body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed many parts in the body, every one of them just where he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." We are a part of the body of Christ. So where do you fit? See, a part of it is that I fit into the body. But the other side of that is the body needs the parts. that the body of Christ needs people to stand up saying, these are my gifts, this is where I fit, this is how I can be more of us. The body cries out to Christians to step up into the community they're called into. What would it be like if the church wasn't constantly praying for resources? What would it be if there were people going, oh, there's a Bible study. Can I lead it? No. Can I lead it? No. Can I? Not out of a pride or a power thing, but out of a servant thing. What if it was to say, hey, we need people to do the morning tea. Oh, can I? Hint, hint. What would that be? And I know that's not how we are in community, but maybe it is how we should be. What's God calling us into? Now, I don't know how you live, but I've been in Stanthorpe for 6 months and I've grown accustomed to loving fires. I don't know, it's something I do. But I've loved fires for years. Rural fireys, I'm sorry. No, love fires. I love the heat. I love the colour. It's something addictive about watching a fire, isn't there? Now, what I have noticed, you can't light a fire and come back 5 hours later and say, wow, isn't that fire great? Because a fire has stages. A fire takes work. A fire takes putting bigger pieces and bigger pieces on. It gets the power and the heat right down the bottom and you put more logs on to keep it going. A fire is not set and forget. Our Christian walk is not set and forget. Discipleship is not set and forget. We're called to walk in the village. So will you play your part in the village? For some of us, there's a challenge of finding that place where we fit. There's the challenge of how do we become a part of the community of Christ. You know, I think that if we're able to go into our community and say, we are waiting for you to come and fulfill the part that we have in this community, then that's a quite attractive thing. Because we're actually people in our community are not belonging and not connecting and feeling rejected. But we have a place for them here. We have a place for them in the body of Christ. There's some who are crying out to say, where do I fit? Where is my place? Chase after that. Find someone to sit down and talk to. Be open to where God is leading us and finding where God has that place for us. There's some that are feeling tired, are feeling busy, are doing stuff. And there are people who willingly put their hand up to say, there's a gap, I'll help. And that may not be the best place for you, but they're filling that gap because someone else hasn't put their hand up. And there's others who feel overcommitted and stuck. And that's not the best place to be either. God's calling all of us into community, calling all of us to find that place that He has for us so that we might thrive, so that we may grow and become more mature. Where is that place for you? Where is your place in our village? Let's pray. Father God, there's some questions there. Questions on where I fit. Questions on, am I in the right place? Questions of how do I belong and connect? Father, I ask that you help us as a community to be able to put square pegs in square holes and round pegs in round holes. And Father, help us to find that shape that we are and the hole that we fit. Father, help us as a community to have the resources we need to be able to see you come to our area. Father, help us to know you, to walk with you, to be mentoring together and to becoming mature believers as we love you and as we find that place in Jesus with you. In Jesus' name, amen.